Mornings. Arizona Sports. The local sports leader. Bickley Blast.
Coyote fans have called for one parting whiteout. They want the last game in Arizona to be a celebration and not a funeral. They are going out of their way to prove they are not the problem, and they most assuredly are not. The problem is the history of ownership. Too often the Coyotes have been purchased by real estate developers who wanted the hockey team as leverage to build shopping malls, hotels, entertainment districts. No one has ever purchased the Coyotes for the love of hockey or the pursuit of the Stanley Cup. They violated the top three rules of real estate. Location, location, location. Their only real home was on the west side, which is a huge issue when all the Canadians, Midwesterners, Northeasterners, and a great majority of hockey fans all reside in the East Valley. Their problem is they have given us one of the worst fan experiences in the history of sports. They've had one extended playoff run in 28 years. They've hung one banner. They never played for a cup. They've spent more time in bankruptcy court than in pursuit of a title. They turned their franchise over to the greatest figure in the history of the sport, and he turned them into Animal House, including a gambling scandal. Incredibly, there's more. Almost every one of their big splash signings have failed spectacularly. Top draft picks didn't want to play or stay here. They made one dramatic run to the Western Conference Finals and then promptly went into a shell, failing to make the playoffs again until the pandemic bumble in 2020. And now, at the end of a three-year rebuild, just as they get their hockey operations in a good place, they are gone. So, will you miss a franchise that was so bad and so dysfunctional for so long? Remember, we're not a sports town that cares about a team because it's ours. It takes a lot more than that. But Coyote fans, they've always been different. And tonight, they're going to be like the Who's down in Whoville, who were still singing on Christmas morning, even though the Grinch stole all their presents. And in the end, Coyote fans are going to show that the fan base is the only thing worthy of a Stanley Cup in Arizona. Alright, today's very long Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
Slow clap for the blast.
That was his, since I've been working on the show, that was his longest blast.
I had a lot to say.
Very good.
You said it well. I could have kept going.
Yeah.
This is the unofficial theme song.
Do you remember Shane Doan's hat trick, Vinny? The night Jeremy Roenick played Game 7 with a busted jaw?
Yeah.
The night Claude Lemieux wanted to fight me in a bar because he was mad at me over things I wrote?
That's not one guy I would want to piss off, though.
I did.
Good for you.
Yeah, I did.
Did it go down?
No.
But the
PR guy for the Coyotes who was in the bar and saw the whole thing happen came up to me afterwards and went, "Man, that was awesome." And I thought, yeah, maybe for you.
How about as recently as Josh Doan's debut and scoring two goals in his debut? The last great moment for the Coyotes.
Yeah, at the end of the road tonight. Sarah had her phone light on because she doesn't have a lighter. That was quite the, even though it was a long blast, it was a very concise synopsis of 28 years of dysfunction. And that, the list of things that you just said, and yeah, there were some good memories, and obviously we'll reflect on those too. But that list of what you just put out there is why I said there's relief mixed into how I feel.
You're absolutely right. It's been exhausting.
I don't want the Valley to lose a hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. It's been happening for quite some time. And for that, I'm relieved. How quickly does the focus for those involved turn into bringing this back, bringing a franchise back to the Valley? I did a little research yesterday.
Oh, okay.
There is four NHL markets right now that have seen teams move in modern history and that have received teams back.
All right.
The Bay Area lost the California Golden Seals to Cleveland in 1976. The Sharks were not granted as an expansion franchise until 1991. 15-year wait. The Atlanta Thrasher, or the City of Atlanta, they had the Flames move to Calgary in 1980. They waited 19 years for the Thrashers to arrive. The Thrashers moved to Winnipeg in 2011. Now that's a 13-year wait for another franchise. Minnesota, the North Stars moved to Dallas in 1993. They were granted an expansion team in the Wild in 2000. 7-year wait. That's the shortest.
Wow.
Winnipeg saw the Jets move here in 1996 and the Thrashers move there in 2011. 15 years. That says nothing of the markets that have lost teams that are still waiting, like Kansas City's, markets like that.
Wow.
I did it for all sports, too. You're talking 5 years. That's the window for this arena to be secured and built and this expansion franchise to kick in an expansion draft. 5 years is a pipe dream.
You're right.
In the NFL, Baltimore waited 13 years after the Colts left. Houston waited 5 years after the Oilers left. Again, that's on the low end of things. In the NBA, Minneapolis waited 29 years after the Lakers moved to L.A. The Washington baseball fans waited 44 years after the Senators moved.
The second time.
For the early 60s, for the Washington Senators, was a weird time. Until the Nationals came to town.
So it's going to be a while.
If it happens.
History would tell you.
I know the Coyotes fan base is patient, but are they able to be patient without the on-ice product / distraction? That's the thing.
That's a great question. It really, really is. I think it really depends on what's going to happen in this land auction. I think that if Alex Morello really goes and wins that land and really pursues this opportunity, then maybe the story and the way it feels changes.
Yes.
But again, I don't know. I have so many doubts and skepticism about that.
Is he even still going to bid?
That's a
great question.
But I've read about complications on this too. And you brought up a couple of heavy hitters that owned land in that area.
Yep.
That had the ability to make things very difficult for anybody who wanted to win that land via auction.
Right.
But what I had read, and I'm wondering if you've heard the same thing, is that they were very wary to be barriers to Alex Morello obtaining that land as long as the Coyotes were in town. They did not want to be viewed as the bad guys who blocked the Coyotes from leaving town. That's already happened now.
Yeah,
so that's
a good point.
That barrier is gone.
That's a very good point. That's a great, great point. So there's whatever civic duty, would a ruthless, ambitious developer...
Ruthless.
That's a good question. I guess we're going to find out, Vinny.
I mean, they can't be viewed as the bad guy. Yeah. Anymore.
Tonight, let's all howl at the moon for the Coyotes. How about that? Ow!
Coming up next, Frank Vogel talked about playoff preparation for his Phoenix Suns. We'll tell you what the head coach had to say days before their series with Minnesota. That is straight ahead here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Oh, yeah. Changes a lot. You know, the level of detail is frustrating coaching in an 82-game season with all the things you want to do that you can't do over the course of a marathon from a workload standpoint, from a detailed game-to-game standpoint. If you're changing so much on a game-to-game basis over the course of an 82-game season, it's not going to be done at a high level. But you can expect to make those types of detailed adjustments or game plan schemes over the course of a two-week, one-opponent playoff series. So it is the time of year that I enjoy.
It's Frank Vogel, the head coach of the Suns, speaking of practice yesterday about the change in the day-to-day and how he's going to operate. And we saw some tinkering by Frank Vogel from a personnel standpoint at the end of the year, namely a couple of things. Royce O'Neal starting a game for Grayson Allen. Look, is that a big deal? Both of those guys are going to be prominent members of the playoff rotation. We saw Drew Eubanks get back up 5 minutes over, or excuse me, Thad Young get back up 5 minutes over Drew Eubanks on a couple of occasions. Now, you're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. Big front line. Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid, Even their starting three in Jaden McDaniels is very long and athletic. So does that alter Frank Vogel's rotation? Will Thad Young be a part of it? Do the Suns rely on Yusuf Nurkic and Drew Eubanks only? How do they combat that size, which they didn't have a problem with in the regular season? But, does that cause Frank Vogel to tinker? These are all questions going in. I think Bol Bol's name is pretty interesting in all of this. He was a rotation piece for a good portion of the second half of the season, played really well, influenced winning, made a lot of good decisions on the basketball floor, but fell out of the rotation a couple times too. Is it going to be 8 or 9 players? I mean, these are all questions in the air right now.
Okay, here's one of the things that I'm going to be really interested in. Do the Timberwolves, in their search to find something to kind of negate the psychological advantage the Suns clearly have over them, do they incorporate a little more bully ball into how they perform on the playoffs? Because you all know it's allowed in the postseason.
Yep.
We know that Sunday game against the Pelicans, they agitated the Suns. They got under their skin, and it was obvious. That game against the Clippers, the 35-4 game, kind of more of the same.
35-4!
This is a given day! And then after that, the Clippers trolled the Suns, didn't even play any of their good dudes, and then the Suns rallied at the end of the week with two great performances.
Yeah.
But against the Kings are not a really physical team. In fact, I don't think they're physical at all. So the Kings, and then
Sabonis is a walking foul, just whether or not it's going to get called.
Well, that is true. There's a reason Draymond stepped on his chest.
I agree with you.
So
the bonus is no angel.
No. And then there's the Sunday game. So did these last two teams the Suns played, did they fail to really kind of poke at that weakness? And will the Timberwolves, I don't know if the Timberwolves have the mentality to try that against the Suns. We're going to find out. That's the one element of this basketball team that I don't know what's going to happen when we start to encounter this. Because, you know, the bad trades this team has had in the past, the foul hunting, the complaining, the getting thrown off their mark, the getting jumped before half court.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at it, the defense versus offense the other way, Karl Anthony Towns is a big guy, but he's not exactly a physical player in the paint. He shoots a lot of outside shots, a lot of three-pointers.
Yes.
And Rudy Gobert is a physical guy, but has no offensive game at all. So you don't really have to factor that in.
Although Rudy Gobert was their best offensive player last Sunday.
Yeah.
And what happened?
He kept him in the game for a while. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions there. Frank Vogel also talked about the challenge of offensive versatility with a couple of the bigs, not Gobert, but Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns, and how the Suns can deal with that.
Yeah, they're great drivers. You know, that's something we are talking about a lot, is their ability to put the ball on the floor and the power, you know, that they have with how they drive the basketball is a challenge, you know. So again, gap activity, low man help, doing it as a team.
Yeah, and people will look at Anthony Edwards and his struggles against the Suns this year and those three losses, and they'll say, oh, well, he's the key. He's their best player. He's got to show up. I fully expect Anthony Edwards to be way better than he was. It's a pretty low bar. But I think the key to this series for Minnesota, they want to win this, is how quickly Karl Anthony Towns can get reacclimated into things.
That's a good point.
You know, he had a couple of games to get some cardio in, basically, and run up and down the floor. But now they'll have the same advantage of a week off, basically 6 days in between games before they play the Suns. How comfortable can Karl Anthony Towns get? And if he's on his game, look, I think he's a frustrating player, and that's just for me as a basketball observer. But when he's on, he can be devastating.
It's certainly from beyond the 3-point territory. Yes. He can make them look effortless. But again, I don't know if I trust the competitive heart of him.
Yeah.
I never have.
You also don't know what you're going to get if the three's not falling. Karl Anthony Towns and we played snippets from the Bill Simmons, Ryan Russillo podcast earlier this week, and they commented during that podcast on this as well. Last Sunday, you kind of got the Karl Anthony Towns experience. He was very awkward in driving the ball to the lane, trying to be physical, picked up some offensive fouls, it was just sloppy. But you don't know which guy shows up. And if the good Karl Anthony Towns shows up, buckle up. It's going to be a series.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot of ways this could be a series, I think. I think maybe the Suns focused. Is there going to be that inevitable dip? I think that's what we're all waiting to see, is how long can they produce a consistent brand of excellent basketball?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you brought up a good point, too. Is Bradley Beal ready to continue to be a star, or does this week off kind of, you know, throw him off of his rhythm a little bit? A lot of things to look at.
Yusuf Nurkic joined Burns and Gambo yesterday. He was asked about how Bradley Beal is playing right now.
Always, every game we start, I'm telling him, just be aggressive. As soon as you catch that ball, like, be Bradley Beal who you are. That's a, like, really impactful player offensively. And especially his challenge this year was tremendous from us as the players and coaches, like, to guard best player. He's doing that. He really guard. He really compete, you know, on-ball defender and, you know, score. That's a hard task to do in this league, and he really do it at the highest level. So I think he's healthy, number one. Finally, that he feel, you know, under the, you know, these legs, and, you know, just to be healthy, help him really good confidence back.
It is pretty interesting to hear as many members of the Suns team, like the actual players, talk about the constant reminders to Bradley Beal to be aggressive, be who you are. And right before this stretch where Bradley Beal has been the best player on the Suns for the last three or four games, certainly in the last two, which were enormous wins, he went through a bout of not being aggressive, being more of a deferral guy, a guy who was going to set the table. That, to me, is where it starts for the Suns. If you've got Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker all hunting their points, getting their shots, they are going to be very difficult for anybody to beat. But that's been such a fluctuating scale for all three of them all year. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And yet everybody in the NBA understands the Suns can be a very, very, very dangerous team. For instance, take a look at what the Kings did to the Warriors last night in a win or go home for the rest of the season mentality, and then contrast that to the way that the Suns have handled the Kings on occasion. Look at the way the Kings or the Suns have handled the Nuggets, and did so even more convincingly without Yusuf Nurkic. There have been moments this season when the Suns have kind of hinted at what their bite can be like, right?
Yeah. I referred to them during the season as those uh-oh moments.
Yeah.
Too few and too far in between, but there were moments, no doubt. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk Suns, and we'll do it with the president of basketball operations and general manager, James Jones, who joins us straight ahead here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Continue here on the Wednesday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings, getting ready for the NBA playoffs, as are the Phoenix Suns. They'll start Saturday in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. Here to talk Suns basketball with us, the president of basketball operations of the Suns, James Jones, our guest on the Arizona Sports Line. James, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me this morning.
Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Obviously, front office-wise, big move this week. The contract extension for Grayson Allen gets done, obviously deserved with his play this year. Tell us about the importance, James, of getting this deal done now, moving forward for this team.
I think it just solidifies our core for the near future, and it allows us to know with confidence that the team that's investing time and spending time together on the floor during these moments will be together for the foreseeable future, and we can continue to build and build towards a championship contending team for the years to come.
Who knew this basketball team, after an up and down regular season, might have saved its best for last? What have you made of Bradley Beal's effort and production the last two games?
I've said multiple times, I think Brad's found his balance and he's kind of stabilized a little bit. It's always tough, extremely tough for high usage, extremely talented players to come in and find that kind of swing role, which is the third in usage. Some nights we need you to be number one. Some nights we need you to be number five. It's really, really difficult. But I think as he's gotten healthier, as he's gotten stronger, and as the season's progressed, He's found his balance, and now he's just out there playing, because with very limited time to get things right at the end of the season, he just got to the point where he's like, it's just time. It's just time for me to go out there and play freely and let my teammates follow my lead.
James Jones, the president of basketball operations for the Suns, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. So much has been made of this journey to get to the playoffs, James, and a lot of people just boiled it down to, hey, as long as the Suns are healthy going in, you got to like their chances. That is the case, but I wanted to rewind a year. Last year, the Suns are the 4 seed going into the playoffs, and in a situation with, you know, the late trade with Kevin Durant and getting him acclimated, everybody was hoping it would come together from a chemistry standpoint. It did to a degree. Can you compare this year's team's readiness for the postseason as opposed to last year's? Even though the seed is different, you're going in as the 6 as opposed to the 4, but it just seems like this team is way more ready than last year's team for the postseason.
It is, and it starts at the top. When your two best players are on the same page and they know each other intimately, it makes it a lot easier to have confidence. And it really simplifies things. Like last year, we were trying to figure out who's going to be the guy that we give, you know, the keys to at the end of the game. When do we give them? Where do we place them? You know, how do they play together? How do you stagger their minutes? And how do you divide their usage? And I think this year, those two have been on such a great pace that it's allowed the rest of the team to settle. And so this year, I think more than anything, we're healthy. And the task in front of us is simpler. It's just go out there and compete on a defensive end and let our defense fuel our offense.
Over the last couple of weeks, it seems like your defensive numbers have spiked in the right direction. How do you feel about this team defensively going into the postseason?
Well, I'll tell you, Grayson's play, Nurk's play. I mean, he's been so underrated this year as an interior presence, as a rebounder. And then the addition of Royce O'Neal, it gives us three really good defensive-minded players to support our offensive players. And so I think our defense is primed to continue this momentum that we've built, especially because the teams that we're playing are teams we're extremely familiar with, and they want to play a physical style of basketball, and now we have the option to do that as well.
We're speaking with James Jones, GM, president of basketball operations for the Phoenix Suns here on Arizona Sports. Well-publicized criticism, when things got bumpy during the season, James, mostly coming from the national media, some from the local media, about the Suns and you know, who's the leader on this team, the subject of leadership. Some people say that this team is lacking in leadership. How would you combat that? How would you respond to that heading into the playoffs?
All teams are different. And the model externally for leaders are guys that talk a lot, guys that make people feel good, that check the boxes that everyone has for what they believe leadership should look like, because the game's best players or historically have been certain types of personalities. But our team is different. You know, our team is led by guys that love to hoop. I think you lead by action. I don't know if I don't know if there's a team where the top guys are in the gym, where they love the game, where they commit to their craft. They put in the sweat equity like our guys do. And so that's their form of leadership. And rightfully so. When you play poorly, they're going to always question that. And when you play well, they'll question it. So we just don't pay attention to it, and we just continue to try to play good basketball.
You know the appetite and the hunger of the fan base as well as anybody. You know how traumatized they've been by a couple of recent close calls with teams that you have built, with teams that have seemed so close at times to being that team that might hang the banner. What would you say to them about the team's state of readiness? Do you think that there might be that happy ending to this postseason? Do you believe that you've got most of your issues in a good place to really make a good run at this?
I do. I believe we have everything we need to come out victorious and become champions. And I always laugh at people's frustrations when you're setting high expectations. I mean, they're high for a reason. We're trying to do the most difficult thing in sport, which is win a championship, especially in the Western Conference where the teams are exceptionally good. So exceptionally talented. It's just the nature of this business, and we look forward to the challenge. And I truly believe if we can stay healthy, and our guys can continue to manage the defensive end, offensively we'll be fine.
James Jones, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. I'd love to get your perspective from your playing days, James. There's been so much made about the Suns dominating the Timberwolves, your first-round opponent, this season. I think three of the better performances of the year all came against the Timberwolves in different ways. Some people say regular season doesn't mean anything. Other people say it's definitely a factor, maybe psychologically, maybe more. How do you weigh all that? You know, your experience against Minnesota heading into this series and what it all means.
Well, you always want to win more than you lose against an opponent you play in the postseason. So the winning and the success helps because it breeds confidence. But realistically, that team that we've played has been a different team every time we played them, and we've been a different team every time we played them. This will be the first time, you know, they'll put their playoff rotation, their playoff lineups out there, and we'll do the same. So we have to take it one game at a time, just knowing that when you play as well as we played against that team, they start to figure things out and they'll come out with a crazy effort. We just have to match their intensity. Actually, we need to exceed their intensity and execute better.
First four games of that Nuggets playoff series last year, Devin Booker looked like he was becoming or was the best player on the planet. The numbers in those first four games were unbelievable. Then he got nicked up and things kind of got away from you guys at that point in time. Devin has also been, he kind of jarred the fan base a little bit with his chillin' comment the other night. Do you really believe that maybe he's been laying in the weeds a little bit? Do you think maybe we're going to see the best of Devin Booker from this point going forward?
I think we'll see the best of Devin, and I don't think he's been laying in the weeds. I just think when you play at such a high level, like Devin does, you have lulls and you have situations and time periods and time frames where you just don't play your best. And, everyone's watching. You know, these guys are human. They're kind of superhuman in a way, but I have no doubt. Like, Devin will be locked in, he'll be ready, and he'll perform well in the playoffs.
James, we'd like to thank you for coming on today on the precipice of the playoffs. We really appreciate the time and the insight.
No, man, I really appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you,
man. Thank you. James Jones, Suns president of basketball operations. Our guest, he joined us
here. The man they call champ, Vinny.
Yes. Can he add one this year?
Yeah, it would be nice.
He joined us on the Arizona Sports Line. Coming up next, if you want to know who the top wide receiver in the 2024 NFL draft is, do not ask Buddha Baker. We will explain next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Murata. Hash marks.
8 days away from the first round of the NFL draft. Next Thursday night, full draft coverage coming up on draft day here on Arizona Sports on 98.7. And the Arizona Sports app will both be a part of that that program. The Arizona Cardinals, number 4 pick in that first round. For now, also the number 27 pick. For now. We talked earlier in the show, C.J. Stroud's warning to teams. Don't overthink this. If you've got Marvin Harrison Jr. on the board and you want a wide receiver, just draft him. We've gone over that 100 different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're both still in that category, too. If you come away with a receiver, I'd like it to be Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., whoever, all good players, but Harrison seems to be the jewel of this class.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. And I've been there, and I've started to question myself because I think the last three NFL draft experts to a man have all said, oh, no, they all grade pretty much. They're all in the same ballpark. They're all in the same elite exclusive neighborhood,
yep.
Right? They're all in Paradise Valley, Vinny. So, but I just... I don't know if I believe that. I know that Marvin Harrison Jr. at Ohio State, he has been excellent from the day he stepped foot in that campus, and his in-game speed, the numbers are off the charts. His red zone touchdowns, off the charts. He's done it with multiple quarterbacks, done it in the... Yeah.
Last year with bad quarterback play or less than stellar quarterback play at Ohio State.
And then I know you're going to play this, but for C.J. Stroud to come out and say, hey, everybody, don't be dumb.
Yeah.
Don't make it too difficult.
Watch it to be Marv. Put on the tape. he's done it from really his freshman year, his true freshman year, to now. When you talk about, I read something like he's NFL ready, but other guys have more potential. That makes no sense. Like, what? Like, if you're NFL ready, how is that not potential? You know, like, you want longevity. You want somebody who's been doing it, you know, and for him, that's what he sleeps, eats, and he breathes. You know, he's a worldly talent, but also he just his work ethic and, you know, how he gravitates like that room. I challenged him that last year when Jackson went down, he had to take over as his leader, and he did that. You know, he's not really vocal, but he became vocal, and you can see his personality start to come out as he started to play more. And, you know, for me, I mean, I think I would love to play with him again. I know I probably won't get that opportunity for a while, but, you know, I'm super, super proud of him. And, man, who's up there, man, be smart. Don't be dumb. Don't think too hard.
Be smart. Don't
it's
be
good
dumb.
Advice. It really is. It's good advice.
For everyone.
I'm just fascinated because Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, he has the Chargers trading with the Vikings. So the Vikings can move up to get J.J. McCarthy. And here's where it gets interesting, because if quarterbacks go 1, 2, and 3, if the Patriots do decide to take Drake May, and then the Cardinals are sitting there at 4 and the Chargers are at 5, if you're the Vikings, you might go, there's no need for us to get to 4. We'll just deal with 5, pay less, and then make the deal with them and get J.J. McCarthy at 5, and the Cardinals can do whatever they want at 4.
Yeah.
That's a realistic scenario. The thing that's, as we talked about earlier, is what are the Giants going to do? The Giants are at 6. This is something that a lot of people reported, so I'm not trying to claim I'm breaking news here, but a friend of mine in New York said the Giants as an organization generally do not spend this amount of inordinate prep work on quarterbacks as they have. Mm-hmm. It would lead people who cover the Giants to believe they are really seriously thinking of either taking one if he's there at 6 or if they feel compelled to move up. That to me is the difference. If the Giants don't want a quarterback, the Vikings don't have to deal with the Cardinals. Vikings just have to deal with the Chargers.
True. We also don't know individual teams' preferences at the wide receiver position. Let me throw a curveball at you.
All right.
Because I don't know what the New England Patriots are ever going to do. And that certainly applies to the number 3 overall pick. Do they stick there? Do they take a quarterback? I'm not convinced that they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They could trade out. But have we considered the possibility of a team from left field that is so in love with Marvin Harrison Jr. as a prospect that they could trade up to number 3?
Ooh.
Because if there is such a team, you got to move ahead of the Cardinals to do it, correct?
Correct.
Wipe out that possibility of the Cardinals just
that is
saying,
interesting.
We're not going to be swayed. We're taking this guy.
That is interesting because there are a lot. We talked earlier. Adam Schefter believes that if last year was the year of quarterbacks getting big deals, this is the year of the wide receivers getting paid. And if you're one of these teams that do not want to invest in, go down the list of the dudes, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown. There's 6 or 7 wide receivers who are expecting to get their bag this offseason. You got 3 receivers at the top of this draft. You might sub out one for another. Yeah. You're right. I think teams and the interest in that, in getting a wide receiver that you don't have to pay huge money for, might affect that.
Speaking of the 3 wide receivers, we've had a little fun with this week. Cardinal safety Buda Baker. April 15th on Monday. Posted on X, Rome, meaning Rome Odunze, equals
what
wide receiver number 1, hashtag go dogs, that is all. He followed that up by saying, so how many wide receiver ones are there in this year's draft? That particular post was liked by Marvin Harrison Jr. himself. And people are like, uh-oh, he's taking note. He's surveying the landscape. The next day, yesterday, Buda Baker, Bugatti Marv, within a substitution of high-end European sports cars, gave him that nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Bugatti Marv equals wide receiver 1. Wake up, haters. That is all.
Wow.
Today, within the hour, Buda Baker tweeted, neighbors, dog equals wide receiver 1. That is all from 3.
Wow. Okay.
Is that him saying he's happy with any of them? Is that Buda Baker responding to the sequencing of his own posts?
Yeah, I right, exactly. That's funny. I think that might be Buda Baker getting a talking to, as in, hey, Buda, just so you know, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., they might be a teammate of yours next year. You might want to kind of show them some love, right? And everybody understands the hyping up of an alumni, of somebody who shared your collegiate uniform.
I think that's all he was doing originally. So. And like, we've seen that with Kyler before, with wide receivers that he used to play with and hyping them up online and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think that's all he was doing originally, but because he used the wide receiver one tag, everyone was like, okay, well, it's more likely that they don't draft him, so what are you going to do now when Marvin Harrison Jr. shows up? So it's funny now that he sort of made it a bit.
What are the odds, even we talk about the uncertainty of the quarterback position, what are the odds that all three of those guys come in and become wide receiver ones for their respective teams? The odds are not very high based on history.
No, I agree with you. So I think that, it's a crapshoot. It's part of why people love it. The fact that the draft's in Detroit this year that is experiencing their renaissance as a football market, you could not have staged a better place for the draft this year than Detroit, Michigan.
You say that because you're not going.
I actually like Detroit. I'm weird that way.
I can't speak. I've only been to the Detroit airport. Never spent time in the city.
Okay.
But I've heard it's making a comeback.
I wouldn't go that far. But if you know where to go, there's a few good spots.
And you know where to go?
I do.
You Midwestern.
I've been there enough. I know, right. Exactly.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we will crash into the 9 o'clock hour with some social studies hosted by Sarah Cazell. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.